We've been looking this month at this passage, this little verse from Isaiah, where we're told that this coming Messiah, this king, this child, is going to come and he's going to be called a wonderful counselor. Someone who gives us counsel, who guides us. Matt showed us last week how that he is also the mighty God, a mighty God. He is the God. Next week, we're going to look at Prince of Peace, that he is that. And then this morning, we want to look at this phrase, he's an everlasting Father. Now, this is one of the interesting things to us in Christianity, is that we are allowed to call the creator of the furthest stars that we can see, and even the ones we can't, we're able to come to him like a child to a father. All that power that he has, the ability to speak things into existence, we still can come to him as a child to a parent, to have that intimate relationship. And Jesus is called that everlasting Father. Now, it's interesting. And I know this is kind of weird because we think about this. Here's the Son of God. Here's a child. And yet he's still to be called the Father. And I think it's really interesting as we kind of go through the Christmas story. And we think about how an angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby. You're going to give birth to the Messiah. Well, how? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will conceive that in you. But yet God still recognized, even though he didn't need a human father to bring him about, he still provided a human father in Joseph to guide him and help him grow. So even though we call Jesus the everlasting Father, he's still known as the Son of God. And it's an interesting paradigm or paradox, but yet it's there presented to us in Scripture. Look at how the Gospel of John described what happened at Christmas. Think about, now he doesn't get into the manger scene and all that stuff. He goes kind of pulls the curtain back a little bit. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word is another name for Jesus, it's describing here. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say that he spoke everything into existence. And then we go down to verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh. That's the incarnation. That's Jesus. And he made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And if you jump to the book of Hebrews, we read this in the beginning of it. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. See how it corresponds with what John has told us? It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And in John's gospel, Jesus is quoting, kind of putting all this together. I and the Father are one. So Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy from Isaiah. And then we read this in John as well. The disciples are talking, and Jesus is going to be leaving and stuff, and they're just really kind of wondering. And Jesus says this, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then Philip kind of pops up his hand, one of the apostles, said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. If you could just show us the Father, we're good. We can handle whatever's coming. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Basically, here's what we have, folks. If you want to know what God's like, what his character's like, what his heartbeat is, what his motives and motivations are all about, just look to Jesus. If you want to see what God cares about, look at Jesus. Jesus is showing us the Father in a way that we can understand. Now, I know sometimes some folks hear that word Father and think of God as Father, and it can be a little problematic. Some of you had a great father, have a great father, and a great relationship with him. Others, your father was maybe emotionally distant or even physically absent. Or you wish he had been absent because he was abusive in some way. Or like my dad, there are those who have or had no idea who their fathers were. There's a story that is told that an executive at a greeting card company decided to make available Mother's Day cards at a federal prison and to make it free for them to send. And the line was so long, these guys all lined up. They had to go and get more cards and bring. They didn't bring enough. So they set out a table and they just went through them to write off cards to their mothers. I thought, wow, this is great. Let's do it again. Let's do it for Father's Day. Hardly anyone took them up on it. And some of them said they didn't even know who their dads were. Parents, they matter in our lives. Our mothers matter, our fathers matter to us. So what kind of father do we need? What is Jesus showing us about this God who is our Father? Well, we need a father, and there are a lot of things we can say, but I just want to focus on three this morning. We need a father who is patient with us. We need a father who is patient. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 17. He says, here's what happened. So Jesus is up on the mount going through what's known as the Transfiguration. And he comes back down, and there's something kind of going on. There's this whole scene because this man had brought his demonic-possessed son to the disciples. He was trying to get to Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. So the disciples said, yeah, we can take care of it. And they couldn't. We tried to cast him out. We couldn't. And Jesus says this, you unbelieving and perverse generation. Now, I know that doesn't sound very patient, does it? Well, listen to what he says. How long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Now, even though his words sound kind of harsh to us, see what's happening here. Jesus still bore with his disciples. Time and time again, he would kind of say these things. How long, guys? How long? How long do we got to deal with this? But at no point did he say, you know what? Thanks for coming. It's been a good year, but we're going to go in another direction. I'm going to get a new group. Because you guys just aren't getting it. Nope. He bore with them. He stayed with them. He was patient with them. He did it with Peter. How many times did Peter, you know, jump in, jump ahead? Even one time when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. And Peter said, no, you won't. Over my dead body. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. But he didn't say, get away, go away. And when Peter denied that he even knew Jesus three different times, Jesus still restored him. If we go back to Philip's question, he could have just said, Philip, wrong answer, get out of here. But he didn't. And when Thomas, after Jesus rose from dead, and everybody's saying, we saw him, Thomas is like, nope, I'm not believing it. Not till I see those nail holes myself. And Jesus later shows up and says, here, take a look. Yes, he rebukes and he teaches and he corrects and he moves them along, but he's always there with him. Some of you have had or have dads who just get it right all the time. You just get it right. They always strike the right tone, got the right words, got the thing, just kind of help you along. others, you know, and with a dad like that, you can motivate you, never humiliate you, never leave you wondering if he loved you. But some of you have had dads who would lose their patience. Lose their patience. Frustrated with you. Yell at you. But you know what they didn't do? Didn't walk away. Stayed there. They may have acted like a drill sergeant, but they were there with you all the way. There are some dads who just said, this is too hard. This costs too much money. This just takes up too much of my time. I got other things I want to do. And they left. That's not who Jesus shows us. That's not the kind of father. In Jesus, we have a father who was and is patient. Yes, he rebuked, he corrects, he chastised them, and through his words, he may tell us things we don't like or don't want to hear, but we still learn and grow, but he never abandoned them, never said, I'm done with you. In fact, he said, I am with you until the end of the age. To be patient with someone is not just about keeping your emotions in check and making sure you get that perfect tone. It's about continuing to be present, even when it's hard. And in Jesus, we have a Father. We see a Father who is patient with us. We also need a Father who is consistent. One of the things you're supposed to do when you become a parent is be consistent along the way. Consistent in your discipline. Consistent in your words. You know, if you say yes, then you mean yes. If you say no, then you mean no. And you're not back and forth, up and down. You're not letting your moods dictate what you're going to do or letting the kids' moods dictate what you're going to do. There's a consistency there. And when children don't see that consistency there, when they don't experience it, then it gives an opportunity for anxiety or cynicism. We're told not to, as fathers, not to exasperate our children, not to make it such, always kind of raising the bar so they can never succeed. And here's what we know about Jesus. Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus remains the same. We have a Father who remains the same. He's not moved by his moods and he's not moved by our moods. He has a plan and he follows through on that plan. Now here's the thing. Unfortunately, you can be consistent. You can be consistently bad. There's an old saying, you know, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes a habit. Listen to this. Jesus posited this question in the Sermon on the Mount. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He is consistently good for us. Now, we don't always feel that because we don't always understand what he's up to. But the scriptures are very clear that he is working all things out to the good of those who love him. God does not deviate from his plan. He is always at work for our good. So we have a Father who is patient. In Jesus, we see a Father who is consistent. Another thing we need, ultimately, is a Father who loves us. A Father who loves us. As kids move through childhood into adolescence and then into adulthood, there's often a question that beats in their heart. Am I loved? Am I lovable? Moms help to answer that question, and dads help to answer that question. And if that question isn't answered in the affirmative, a life can limp along. Always questioning, always wondering, always looking for that love. But in God, we have a Father who loves us. John 3:16. Many of you have heard this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have what? Eternal life. And then verse 17 says, God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Basically, in Jesus, we are getting a demonstration of God's love for us, the Father's love for us. How does he do that? How does he show us that? There's a few ways. John the Baptist had been arrested by Herod. He was being held in a prison. And he had said, Jesus is going to become greater. I've got to become lesser, Jesus did. But as he's watching Jesus is not quite matching up to his expectations. He seems to be expecting maybe a little more muscular, you know, Christianity, or Jesus, you know, someone who's going to start kicking people out and taking power and those type of things. And Jesus isn't doing that. And so he sends some of his disciples to ask him, said, are you the one we've been hoping for, that we've been looking for? Or should we look to someone else? Because you're not matching the expectation. And here's what he said. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus demonstrated his love through his ministry. How he dealt with people, and particularly in these miracles we see, the miracles that Jesus performed gave support to his claims that he was the promised Messiah. But notice the kinds of miracles that he did not perform. There were no miracles that dominated people. There were no miracles that harmed enemies. These were miracles that were doing good for others. In fact, once when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, they had to go through Samaria. And on their way through Samaria, they needed a place to stop. And the Samaritans and Jews didn't get along at all. And so one of the villages that he wanted to stay in said, nope, keep on going. You're not welcome here. The disciples became indignant at that. And we see two of them say this. James and John said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. The miracles that Jesus did were miracles that did good. He didn't use his miraculous powers, his abilities to do what he could do for himself, to have power over other people. Showed love for them. It wasn't just his miracles, though. He invited those who had been cast out back in. He touched the lepers. He dined with tax collectors and others. Sinners came to him and he welcomed them. Jesus shows us the Father's love and how he interacted and did his ministry. But then he took it a step further. Jesus said in John 15, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Well, what's that love look like? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, which he did at the cross. Jesus demonstrated the Father's love at the cross. When Peter erupts, when Jesus is arrested and he's, you know, waving his sword around and he cuts off a guy's ear, Jesus is like, no, we're not doing that. Even restored the ear, healed the man's ear. He went to the cross willingly. He didn't want it, but he still did it because of love. And this is showing us the Father's love. Because remember, the Father and I are one. And so what we see in Jesus, we know about the Father. We know about God. And there's even better news. Romans 8, we see this. Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is always interceding for us. Right now, Jesus is continuing his love for us by interceding for us. Right now. If your heart is breaking over something right now, know this, he is interceding for you. Right now, if you're wrestling with a sin, a temptation, know that this, Jesus is interceding for you. Whatever you may be going through, whatever you may be feeling, whatever you're experiencing, know this, the Father's love is there now in Jesus on your behalf. This time of year, you know, we talk about the baby. You know, everybody wants to see the baby. We love a little baby Jesus. He's safe, cute, cuddly. The story, oh, the poor baby Jesus. Everybody can get around that. What's weird, it's the same thing, is that baby is essentially the father to the one who was his mother. This is the kind of God we have that would come near to us and make himself vulnerable and be among us so that he could truly say, I know what it is to be human. I know what it is to be tempted. I know what it is to be rejected. I know what it is to hurt. I know what it is even to die. I know that. And so as he intercedes for the Father, he's not doing something as just kind of this lawyer who stands back, doesn't really understand, but he does it as someone who says, I was there. I was there. This is the Father that we have. Listen as you're out shopping this week, or if the music is playing in the background. Listen for those songs that will come on every now and then and speak of the child who was the Father, who loves you, is consistently good toward you, and is patient with you. That's what we're celebrating right now. That's what it's all about this season. That's what Christmas is about. The Father who came near to his children. Don't lose sight of that. Take it close to your heart and hold on to it. Share that good news. If you've got people who are like, what in the world is Christmas about? I thought it was about trees and presents and stuff. And you say, listen, let me tell you this. It's just simply this. It's about a God who loved his creation so much that he came for them. Yes, he gave us free will, but he also gave us an opportunity to escape sin, its power, and its penalty, to escape the work of our own hands, and to be made new. And in a moment, we're going to take communion. I'm going to invite you that when we do so, to see in that little piece of bread, the body of the one who loves you, to see in that little cup of juice the blood of the one who loves you, who made himself the perfect gift, the gift that truly keeps on giving. Hold all that tight. We'll get caught up. We'll have presents. We'll have food. We'll have all those things. And those are all fun and those are all good things. But in the middle of all that, don't lose sight of the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, as we take this bread and juice in just a moment, help us to be reminded of your patience, of your consistency, of your love. Help us to see that we have indeed a perfect Father in you. Even when we as fathers so often fall short, or we've had fathers who fell short for us, but help us to see that you invite us to draw near. That you want us to see you as more than a king, more than a creator, more than just God. You want us to see the relationship you want us to have with us, that you want us to have with you. May this time help us take hold of that. And we sing, Father, our songs of joy this season because of what you've done for us through Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen.